From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Wednesday, January 15th, and here are today's headlines. Across all Vermont school boards, there are between 30 and 40 vacant seats at any given time. That's according to the Vermont School Board Association, which is trying to drum up interest among residents to run for their local school board. Flor Diaz-Smith is board chair of the Washington Central School District and president of the Vermont School Board Association. On Vermont Edition, she said school boards do the important work of developing budgets, monitoring student outcomes, and keeping the community accountable to its children.
We're at a pivotal moment in public education right now. And so if you care about ensuring that each and every student receives the opportunities that they need and can reach their full potential regardless of their circumstances, you want to run for school board.
The majority of school district votes happen on town meeting day in March. For those districts, the filing deadline for school board nominations is Monday, January 27th. More than 3,500 scams were reported to the Vermont Attorney General's office last year. The most common ones tried to trick people with alerts about fake computer problems, like warning them that their antivirus software is out of date. Other top reported scams included one about identity theft and people pretending to be law enforcement officials. The AG's office also announced that Vermonters can now get information about scams through VT Alert, the state's notification system for emergencies, severe weather, and other hazards. City officials in Rutland want the public's input on a proposal to move the library and City Hall to a more modern building downtown. Randall Smathers is director of the Rutland Free Library and says their current space, which was built before the Civil War, would require approximately $10 million to meet modern standards.
To make it into a good 21st century library, we would have to knock down everything that was built after 1858 and start over. There's absolutely nothing that conforms to what a good modern library is.
Rutland City Hall also needs costly repairs. It's why Mayor Michael Donges says the city is considering a less pricey option, moving both facilities into the newer Asa Bloomer building on Merchants Row. The legislature would need to approve the sale of the state-owned building, and local voters would have to approve any bond. The first of three public meetings on the proposal will be held January 16th at the library. And students at Twin Valley Middle High School will no longer have access to their cell phones during the school day. That's after a new policy went into effect earlier this month, prohibiting such devices at the Whitingham Middle and High School. The Brattleboro Reformer reports that phones brought into school are kept in a lockbox in a student advisory classroom until the end of the day. The policy covers both middle and high school students who had been operating under slightly different rules. Coming up, Vermont is offering financial incentives to upgrade electrical systems, and energy officials say the move is key to reducing future carbon emissions. We'll learn more from Vermont Public's Abigail Giles after this. If you live in an old house and want to get an electric vehicle charger or a cold climate heat pump, you may have run into some roadblocks because of your electrical system. Now, for the first time ever, Vermont is offering financial incentives to upgrade those systems, and energy experts say it's the key to a lower carbon future. Vermont Public's Abigail Giles has more.
Trip into the basement. Don't fall down the stairs.
Pam Ladds lives in what just might be the oldest house standing in Newport. It's a former stagecoach inn built in 1820.
Mind the cobwebs and duck.
So, yeah, tell me about what we're looking at here.
We're looking at an old panel with the kind of switches that you flip back and forth.
That's an electric panel. It doesn't look like much, but this gray box with tidy rows of switches is sort of like the interstate of Pam's electrical system. It's the lanes on the highway, and it's what keeps all the electrons that power her lights and home appliances moving consistently and at the right speed in a way that's safe. One catch, Pam, like many people with homes built before the last few decades, has a 100-amp panel and meter, and that just isn't enough interstate lanes to fully electrify your home. That's a challenge for Vermont's efforts to use less fossil fuels, because replacing fossil fuel appliances with electric ones, then powering those appliances with renewable energy, is widely viewed as an important tool for fighting climate change. Outdated or even unsafe panels are something master electrician Grace Kahn sees a lot of in Vermont.
This is a conversation that I have every day with somebody.
The conversation often starts when someone wants to switch a fossil fuel appliance over to an electric alternative, like a heat pump. Upgrading an electric panel costs upwards of $3,500, a steep price for the average household. But it's often a necessary step in an old home if you want to get a fast charger for an electric vehicle or install heat pumps.
Everything's just going to be bigger and able to handle more heat. And so that, you know, the extra load and draw that you're putting on your house is not causing a fire in your meter, in your panel, because those are the things that do happen when you draw too much.
And while many subsidies exist for electric appliances, historically, there haven't been standalone subsidies to help pay for electric system upgrades. Homeowners were expected to shoulder the burden alone. That changed after Vermont saw historic flooding in 2023 and 2024. Efficiency Vermont launched a pilot program to update electric panels and meters in low and moderate income homes that were flooded. This fall, they and other efficiency utilities opened the program to all low-income households in the state. And right now, people who qualify can essentially get a panel upgrade for free, with steep discounts for moderate-income households.
I do think the electric panel upgrade is really going to be incredibly meaningful opportunity for those that it has a direct opportunity to help.
The program is thanks to $10.5 million in federal funds from the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA. It's not clear how many homes in Vermont might require this kind of work to electrify their home heat or cars. Utilities don't track the status of people's home wiring, nor do state regulators or the federal government. In fact, it's unclear how many homes nationwide might need new electric panels as the country electrifies. But in Vermont and New England, which has some of the oldest housing stock in the country, it's likely that many, if not most, homes will require these upgrades.
We have not yet met the full need. It's pretty significant progress, but we need a lot more. We need to move apace.
And a full electric system upgrade may not be the answer for every household. With some planning, smaller homes may be able to electrify many of their gas appliances with some clever electrical fixes. Amanda Sachs is with the national nonprofit Rewiring America, which provides tools to help people electrify their homes.
Yeah, I typically think about it more as managing a budget. Instead of increasing the budget, maybe you want to optimize spending, which would in this case be your electric usage.
Sachs says technologies like smart splitters, which can help you add one more appliance to an almost full panel, or PowerSmart EV chargers, which charge an electric car when other appliances are not running, can be helpful tools. Smart panels can help too, as can buying only the most efficient appliances. Sachs says workarounds like these can help people electrify incrementally as they can afford to. Plus, using a smaller panel, it limits how much electricity you can use, which is also critical for saving the planet. But for some older homes, like ones with a 60-amp panel, an upgrade is often the only option. If you don't qualify for a free or subsidized panel upgrade through Efficiency Vermont or your local efficiency utility, you can still get a $600 tax credit from the federal government and access low or zero interest loans through your utility. And an electrician can help you space the work out over time as you can afford to do it. Lastly, Grace Kahn, the electrician, has a word of caution for Vermonters who are used to doing their own home repairs. She says a panel and box upgrade is not the project to do yourself.
We find a lot of like hairy homeowner, you know, wacky wiring situations. You know, having it done right the first time is worth paying.
And while paying an electrician to do an electric panel upgrade may sound less sexy than getting a heat pump or a car charger, it could be the key that opens the door to going electric and knowing your home is safe as you do it. For Vermont Public, I'm Abigail Giles.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Michaela Lefrak, Liam Elder Connors, Nina Keck, and Jen Jarecki. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.